welcome to the Button Mashers of the Empire podcast, your source for all that is Star Wars The Old Republic related.
I'm going to regret this. You watch your language.
Welcome to another episode of the Button Mashes of the Empire podcast. As always, I'm Ray. With us today is Nikki. Nikki, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Excellent. Unfortunately, Mike will not be able to be with us today due to schedule conflictions, but I'm sure he'll be back and ready to go with more information for everybody with the next podcast.
His real life is really hounding in on my gaming time.
I know. I haven't seen him for quite a while. I texted him while I was at work, and to find out what was going on, and he's like, "Oh, we're just really busy at work." I'm like, "Take a vacation day, dude. You gotta play games."
Yeah.
All right, so let's go into the first section. I want to go a little bit. First off, I know it's been a little while since we've had it, but you know, we had our very first Star Wars in-game event. That was the Rakul outbreak on Tatooine. And there's been some people that have kind of complained about it for obvious reasons. They're legitimate reasons, but I think there's aspects that they're not really looking at. Now, I think, first off, personally, I think it went over really well. I think it was really well laid out, especially for a very first one. I think it was very well laid out. The rewards that you got or could get were nice. Now, they did have a level restriction as far as you had to actually be high enough level to get to Tatooine in order to participate in the event, which, to me, made sense, because if you make it to where level 1s could go to Tatooine just due to the event, it kind of took something away from it. It wouldn't seem right.
Well, you wouldn't send a 7-year-old in to fight a war.
Exactly. When you got the dailies, and as you went, a new daily opened up almost, I believe it was almost every day for the first week. So you can kind of follow the progression through the storyline of the event, which was neat. And then you got different rewards. You could choose more Rakul DNA samples, which you got those, and you could turn a certain amount of those in to the event vendor to buy certain things. Or you could pick some social gear, which essentially after you collected the whole set, you would look like one of the containment troopers for your respective faction, whether it was the Republic or the Empire. But you had more than enough time to get them, so you were able to buy anything you wanted from that vendor, plus had enough time to collect the entire set.
Absolutely. So, I didn't even do the dailies every day. I did them most days, but some days I just couldn't get on. And I had plenty of Rakul DNA to get everything I wanted, plus a few extra I gave to a guildie so that they could go get what they wanted.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that they did a great job with that. You know, they really gave us plenty of time to get this stuff done. And on that as well, the purchasable items from the little Jawa that was walking around by the Sarlacc pit, he had a lot of fun stuff. You know, he had random costumes, which you bought a costume and then a costume box for your companion. He opened it up, and the only thing I didn't like about it was completely random. So it might not have been for the companion you had, or even for the companion that you had at all on that character. Because I know on my Sith Warrior, I got a companion costume for a Republic Trooper companion. So that's kind of the only thing I didn't really like about it. But the other stuff was kind of neat. You know, you had a pale Rackling. You had a lightsaber crystals, I thought were really nice, because you were able to get some of the high end, and just barely under the high end, like the plus 31s and the plus 41s lightsaber or blaster crystals that were black core green glow. So not only did you have some fun stuff, but you had some actual useful stuff for current endgame content, as well as, you know, high level flashpoints. So that I thought that was kind of nice too, because I know I picked up one, and didn't you pick up a crystal as well?
Yes, and I play a bounty hunter, and I got the companion costume for an Imperial agent, so I guess it's a good way to make you want to roll an all. Like, I have this, so I can't do anything with it, so I might as well make an Imperial agent. See what happens.
You know, that's actually a really good way to look at it, because it's kind of a little incentive to roll something different.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I played World of Warcraft for 6 years, and I had one of everything, just because I wanted to play one of everything to see what it was like, and I'm sure I'll do the exact same thing with Star Wars. You know, I have, you know, the game's only, hasn't, I don't even think it's been out for 6 months yet, so I have plenty of time to roll all these different tunes to try out the storyline, and I'm sure I'll hold on to it, because I'm sure I'll make an agent eventually.
Well, sure. Just like I'm sure eventually I'll end up with a Republic Trooper that I can use that costume for. But, you know, I was kind of really hoping that I would get a costume for my main. But I didn't realize it was going to be random. That's really the only thing I didn't like. Was just,
well, what else would you have done with the DNA anyway?
Probably what everybody else was doing on the server, and I would have turned around and sold it in general chat. And see, it was going for insane amounts of credits. In general chat, mainly toward the end of the event, you saw people really putting a high price on it, and people were buying it because they wanted to get those items. And you know, that's cool.
Well,
but I did notice
not that hard to come by. You could come by 50,000 credits in 2 days, easy.
Yeah.
And I don't play a lot. I'm sure somebody who spent 6 or 8 hours sitting there could easily come up with 50,000 credits in a day.
Oh sure. And what I think is even funnier is, a lot of people went out and they bought extra lightsaber crystals or blaster crystals. They bought these extra crystals, and I've been noticing up on the GTN that some people are actually posting these, trying to sell them, but they're selling them for like 300,000 credits.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've seen the same person with the same couple people with the same crystals up there. I'm assuming it's the same one because they're just not selling. Because I just think 300,000 credits is a lot.
For a green crystal, because you could get the plus 41, or the same stats from the normal vendors.
Yeah, and
it's just that it's green is the only difference. So if you're not partial, why would you spend that kind of money when you can save up some commendations, buy one from one of the fleet vendors?
Yeah, I don't remember how much they are from the fleet vendors. I know they're pretty expensive, but at the same time. You know, like you said, you know, the get the commendations, because I know my Sith warrior can make crystals, and I have plus 31 or plus 41 patterns on my Sith warrior, and it's a lot cheaper to just make them. So if you know somebody, you know, it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper just to do it that way. But that just seems like a lot of credits. But I think if they did it, again, the moving on with the event, the fact that the mobs scaled, I thought were really nice. So they just scaled with the highest person in your group. So if you went in there at 25 or 26, then the ones for that event, any of the sand people or whatever for that event, were that level, all the way up to level 50. So I thought it really made it fair for everybody that could participate in the event. They didn't have to have a level 50 with them to get the main things like that accomplished. I thought that was really nice. But at the same time, they did buff up the world bosses to level 50. So it gave the level 50s themselves a nice little challenge through the event.
I think the world bosses scaled as well.
Really? I thought they were just level 50. But even at that, they still, you know, you had to get that title, you had to kill all three world bosses. And not only did you get a title, but, you know, you got, if you were lower level, you got experience. But you also got the purples. You know, you got gear that dropped off that was very, you know, usable gear. So there was a lot of advantages to going through and killing those world bosses, which made it fun, I think, as well. Because it kind of gave you more initiative to actually go through and take them out.
Yeah, and I play on the Rakata Mine server, or Rakata Mine Prison server. And we grouped up in the Bantha one in the open PvP area has a 2-hour spawn time. And I got into a group that were running around killing them, and we actually came across the Bantha laying there dead. So we're like, okay, you know, let's just go try and find the other ones. And the same group stayed together for the entire 2 hours, just running around doing stuff and talking. And, you know, I play on a PvP server, so, you know, you see 16 Empire come running towards a Republic player. That was a lot of fun. Because you could just see them doing the Scooby with their feet, trying to run backwards, like, oh my god, there's 16 of them headed towards me. But it was really nice. Nobody got frustrated. Nobody got upset. 2 hours we ran around Tatooine, just waiting for that Bantha to respawn, and we kept cycling out people. Like, a few would stay there and wait while others ran around and, you know, check the other bosses or did quests, and then they'd go, okay, I'm done, and they would come back, and then more would go, and it was really, really nice, a nice community thing to do where nobody got upset. There were no, God, this is dumb, I'm out of here. We just, as soon as we said, you know, he's back, everybody came. There was no, wait for me, oh, I'm just going to finish up this quest. You know, they're like, okay, he's back, get back there now. And we killed him, and then everybody left. Said, you know, good job, see ya.
Nice. It just, that's another thing, is just the game's got, has that community built up because of the fact that they really worked hard in the game to try to develop that. And I think that it's really working out in most aspects. I mean, sure, there's going to be some aspects where, you know, you're not going to have people that want to be a team player or things just don't run as smoothly. But I think they really did a good job of really working to develop that sense of community on the servers. And that's a good example as to, you know, it's definitely paying off. Now, something else that I want to go over is the new implementation of damage and healing meters.
No!
Well, there is a lot of pros and cons to that I'm thinking that there are.
You should measure your success by being successful, not by numbers.
And I completely agree. Now, I'm a fan of the damage meters just because I like to know what I'm doing. I like to know, if I try this rotation, is that actually putting out more damage than this rotation? You know, just for my own personal use, I don't sit there when I'm in an ops staring at my meters while I'm doing this stuff. I make sure that I can't see them. I keep them up so it keeps recording the data so I can look at it later. But I don't sit there staring at it. I don't feel that you should be.
I just think an introduction of a damage meter will... It'll be awful. All those people who will go, you need to have this much, you know, you're not pulling enough damage, you need to have this much. It's just, I think it will just open the Pandora's box of douchebaggery.
And it can. Now, the only thing that it really has going for it right now is the fact that they're not actually in-game damage meters. They are separate programs you have to run while you're running Star Wars. So that in itself... kind of limits who can use it, because some people don't have a system that are actually able to run, even though they're small programs, the parsers are small, some people don't have the ability to run both. Now I've tried three different ones that I want to go over just to kind of give a heads up as to, you know, kind of what some of them are like and what to kind of expect. I tried Memories of Zendor, the Advanced Combat Tracker, or ACT version 3, and Tor Meter. Now, they all give you really nice detailed account of what's going on with your heals or your damage. They have different ways to chart this. Each one is a little bit different as far as its graphical representation. Now, with ACT version 3, it does seem to be a little bit clunky, in my opinion, as far as the way it's set up and how to get it up and running in order to start recording the information and start getting a real flow going. But it's still pretty easy to use. But at the same time, it's something that has to sit in your background, so you pretty much have to either minimize or, you know, tab over to it in order to see what's going on. You can't really see right there what you're doing while you're doing it. At least I haven't been able to figure out how yet. But again, it's still pretty easy to use, but it is a little bit clunky in setting it up. Tor Meter is a bit easier to use. It has a very nice graphic representation of the output. It's a very nice setup. It's bar graphed. Again, it runs in your back. It runs back behind Star Wars, so you kind of have to tab over to see it. I believe that I'm thinking there was a way to set it where you could see it, but I couldn't figure it out. But in overall, it did give a good representation of what you have. Now, Memories of Zendor, or Mox, or Moz, however you want to pronounce it, this is the one I like the most, because it still gives you the real-time information. However, the nice thing about it is, if you run Star Wars in windowed mode full screen, when you set up Moz, you can set up your healing meter and your damage meter. You can set up actually up to four different screens. You can set up damage done, damage received, healing done, and healing received. And you set these up on your up wherever you want them on your window. And then when you tab back into Star Wars, because you're in windowed mode, they sit in front of Star Wars. So as you're playing, and they take, you know, they're small windows, they're completely configurable to where you can make them really, really small so they won't clutter your screen up. You can actually sit there playing and see a real-time representation of exactly what you're doing through your DPS or your heals while you're actually doing it. Now, I liked this because when I'm sitting here doing, you know, doing my DPS rotations on a test dummy, I can see on what exactly I'm doing and how it's working right there as I'm actually doing it. So I thought that was really nice. Plus, you can also link up the, if you get your operations group to all use the same one, you can actually get them to link up together, so you'll get a real-time representation while you're playing of the entire group's information as well. So it's kind of nice to see, you know, if you have a good group together, like we have a good raid group we run with, or ops group we run with, that our main goal is the boss has got to die. That's the main goal. But it's kind of nice to be able to sit back and go, okay, well, yes, he died, but, you know, this guy's doing 14 times more DPS than this person. Maybe we need to go, and you know, maybe we need to go back and do some hard modes or something else, which we do. So it's kind of nice if you have a good group that's like not really worried about it as long as the boss dies, and they just want to use them as kind of a way to kind of fine tune the group.
Well, my question is, where is the good DPS level? Like, how do you know? If you're just judging by DPS and not by the fact that you killed a boss before he enraged, which I think is a very good DPS meter.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, well, this guy did 14 times more DPS than me. Well, what if he sucks? You just suck 14 times more. Where's the level? Where is the governing, you know, bar that says this is good and this is sucky?
And that's actually still up for debate. That's one of the big things, is so you have to really watch.
You're using a program, or you're requiring people to use a program that really, there's no basis for it. There's no ground zero. You don't know what's good. You're just going to use it as a tool to, against tools, I guess.
Well, no, because you're going to be using it and comparing, say this guy's got full Rakata and this guy's got not, doesn't have full Rakata. They're the same class. Like, there's another, like, my character's a Sith Marauder warrior, and there's another one in our guild. I can compare and say, you know, he's in full Rakata. What kind of DPS is he doing versus I'm got, you know, half Rakata, and what DPS am I doing? And you can kind of, it kind of lets you work with the numbers and see, well, he's got this much, you know, he's the same spec and same class I am, but he's got better gear. What's his DPS versus mine? And then it gives you something to compare to and something to work toward as far as, all right, well, once I get at full Rakata, I really should be doing at least this. It kind of gives you a gray area, like a little area to work with, to kind of like an aiming point for, you know, this is where I really should be about. If I'm higher or I'm a little lower, that's fine, but I should be about here. So if you're doing significantly less, then you know that maybe I need to put a new talent point in somewhere else, or maybe my rotations is off a little bit. It's really, I look at it as a way to fine-tune your character, not a, I'm awesome because I can wipe everything out.
Or you suck really, because the ranged bounty hunter is doing 7 times more DPS than you because you're melee and you have to run away. You have to run in there and smack it twice and run away, then run back in, smack it twice and run away. So of course the ranger is going to do more DPS than you. I think it's just going to be way more problems. I think they should wait at least a year before they introduce any kind of a damage meter. I think that if you're killing the bosses before the rage timer and you're having a good time, your DPS is perfect because you're not so frustrated that you keep dying, and you're so frustrated that you can't heal, and you know, you feel like you're not DPSing, but everything is happening smoothly, then your damage meter is good, and that should be the level of what you judge your DPS by.
Well, and that's what the problem is with other people, is you can't compare ranged to melee. That's always been my biggest pet peeve. is if you're comparing range to melee, let me be blunt, you're retarded. You shouldn't be comparing range to melee because there's different circumstances you have to take into account. Meleeers are big for... they're big heavy on your interrupts, on having to run away from stuff. There's a lot more movement. There's a lot of repositioning. There's a lot involved. So your DPS can be very spiky, as well as sometimes it can be really low depending on the fight, where most ranged have a far easier ability to basically stand there and just waylay on bosses. I mean, sure, ranged have some interrupts, but you have a much easier time to just waylay on stuff versus a meleeer. So really, when you're talking about damage meters, you really, really, really have to compare class to class, spec to spec. And I know you and I have had to talk with people like that in WoW, where we were like, why are you comparing like that? You can't compare like that. You know, you can't compare
because
a paladin
majors,
healer to a druid healer, just like you can't compare...
make your tunnel vision stupid.
Yeah, well, and I agree, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, you can't do it, and if you do, you have bigger problems. You have bigger problems because you're not comparing correctly. You have to compare yourself with something similar or identical. You can't compare, you literally can't compare an apple to a banana. You know, you have to get at least close, you know? So, I think they can be really helpful tools, but you really have to remember that if long as the boss dies, you won. You get the loot, you move on. If you're not downing the boss, then maybe look at the meters and see what's going on, just to get an idea. But remember, the game is still new, the gear is still new, we're still getting an influx of new people. It's going to take time to get things smoothed out. Don't sweat it. It's not going anywhere. Don't freak out. The game's not going anywhere. And if you're some of these people that, I mean, there are some people that are really hardcore, and, you know, kudos to them for wanting to be like that. But remember, the faster you burn through the content, the longer you're sitting waiting for new content.
Well, that's what the forums are for. Go on there and complain about how Star Wars has no end game content. There's nothing to do, and the game is terrible.
Yeah, so just remember, the faster you burn through it, the longer you're waiting for new. So be patient with your raid groups or with your ops groups. Work together, work for the goals, work for the achievements, work, you know, get things run smoothly, and it'll pay off much better in the long run. It really will. So that's also my opinion on damage meters. I think damage and healing meters can be an excellent tool, but they should not be your focus. They really should not be a focus. They're there to help you to fine-tune, is really the way I look at a meter, whether it's damage or healing, whether it's damage taken or done, or versus healing taken or done. There really should be a tool to help you fine-tune, not a tool to focus on. And if you're not high on those meters, then you fail, because it's just not the way it is. If the group succeeds in downing the bosses, succeeds in getting the stuff done, then everybody's doing their job, because really it's a team effort. So everybody's doing different things. You just have to watch. But
I'm going to go on the record as being completely against it. 100% against it. Because it just makes people crazy. And you just can't. You can't. Maybe out of the million people that play Star Wars, half of them will be fine with it and be normal and not judge other people. But the other half will just be completely awful and terrible and ruin the entire experience.
And
I'm still a recovering Warcraft player, so my views may still be a little jaded.
Just a little.
Because I love World of Warcraft. I love the game. I love the lore. I have all the books and the atlases and everything. I have statues and figurines. I love the game. But I stopped playing because of the community. I couldn't stand the negativity. I couldn't stand it. You had it in general chat and PvP and looking for group, I couldn't stand it. And everybody's EPing revolved around that damn damage meter. And I think it just destroyed the community. I think it was a catalyst that destroyed the community in WoW.
Yeah, I don't think it helped, but yeah, I think a lot of people started to really focus on that. Alright, so since Mike isn't here, what are we going to talk about for the future?
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
I try to get Mike to say that, and he won't do it.
We'll get him to. We'll get him to.
Well, I have heard Dallas Dickinson, senior producer at BioWare, during a Q&A, I think a while ago, said that they will be offering server transfers to motivated players, which I'm assuming is a level 50 or close to level 50.
Makes sense.
To more populated servers. So instead of trying to populate servers, I think that they're going to try and move low populated people from servers to more populated servers so that they can have a better experience at level 50. And then I don't know what they're going to do with the servers once they move everybody off of them. Maybe you just shut them down until they need them later.
That could be. It could be.
Yeah, because you never know. I mean, I know that they said that server population has decreased, but a couple of new games have come out. So people, you always see that in an MMO. If a new game has come out, they'll stop playing Star Wars for a month or so, play this other game, and decide which one they like better. And maybe they will come back to Star Wars, maybe they won't. I think they've lost several 100,000, I think, but I don't think it's a very big chunk. You know, I used to see that in Warcraft too, is, you know, the new Diablo would come out and everybody, you know, the servers would be empty for about a month, and then people would come back and some people wouldn't. But I think the low population servers, they'll get a free promotional transfer to higher populated servers. So keep a lookout for that. It's supposed to come in 1.3. In early summer is what he said.
Cool. Well, that should actually be beneficial for trying to get some groups together. That should really help.
Yeah, I read a lot of forums and read about try to keep up on what people are talking about, and I notice a lot of people are saying, "Oh, you know, my server's dead. You know, I'll be on the fleet, and there's only 17 people there," and I'm on a very, very populated server. Rakata Mine Prison was one of the first servers up for PvP, so there's quite a few people on there. But even then, I don't see a lot of people on in the fleet. I think most people are, they do things. I don't. It's not like a lot of MMOs where there's a main city where everybody just kind of stands around. Like in Star Wars, I'm not standing around. Very, very rarely. Maybe if I have to go to the auction house or I want to pick up something specific that you can only get at the fleet, but I'm off doing things. I'm exploring planets and getting datacrons and looking for pets and, you know, researching things or doing the space battles or doing PvP or, you know, looking for a flashpoint, or I'm just running around with a friend. I don't spend a lot of time on the fleet, which is good. You shouldn't be standing around. So I think if you're judging your population by what's on the fleet, yeah, maybe you should pop around to all the other planets and count those people too. And then you've spent an hour and a half playing the game. What do you want me to say? I thought that was a really good thing.
That is.
I noticed that there's that the general chats are planet-wide. So there is a lot of chatter on planets. And the general chat on the fleet is just for the fleet, so there's really not a lot of, you know, there's not like a, like Warcraft had a trade chat where you could be in any major city on any zone or planet, I guess, and you could hear everything that was going on. Well, Star Wars doesn't have that. You're on a planet talking to someone, or you're on the fleet talking to someone. So if you want to sell something or you're looking to buy something specific, you need to hang out in the fleet area or just look on the auction house. I think not having that trade chat is good and bad. I think it's good because you're not having people standing around looking for something that you could just go to the auction house. If it's there, then it's there. If it's not, then it's not. Move on and come back in an hour. But it's bad because you can't move product as well or as quickly. So I think it's good. I don't think that they should put one in because you don't have people standing around in the fleet doing nothing but, you know, walking around with sandwich boards. And I think that's a good thing. You should keep people out of the fleet. You should come to the fleet when you need to get something or you need to meet someone, because it's a nice central location to meet someone. And then you should keep them out of the fleet and go off and do things. You know, if you're not doing something, then you need to log out and go outside or read a book or play with your kids. But standing in the fleet doing nothing, I think it's good that they have alleviated that and you are busy doing things. I've also heard on the forums, and I've read it briefly on a couple of posts, so take it with a grain of salt. You heard it here on Button Mashers, that by the end of the year, they will be introducing a new race, a new playable race. So maybe it's probably one that's already in the game, but you're going to be able to make characters with it. And they haven't said what it is, but there is a poll on buttonmashersTheEmpire.com to pick which one you think it's going to be.
So, I think it's going to be nice. I think implementing something new like that already is going to make it a little more fun.
Sure, I can't wait to see a new storyline for a race. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be the same, you know, smuggler, bounty hunter, or whatever. It's just going to be a new race.
Yeah, and there'll be little nuances that are a little different, little differences, but I think it's going to be good. And I think, you know, like I've heard about it as well. And I know a lot of people are freaking out because they're thinking that, you know, BioWare's going to launch an expansion pack after, you know, not even a year.
No.
And I think that is way, way wrong. We've seen how much they can implement in just a large patch. Well, if it's going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be a character that we already have in game in some way or another. So it's going to be it's going to be just manipulating the character model they have to make it a playable character. And then implementing it into the different cinematics. So it's not going to be that big, I would think.
No, I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. I think it'll be a hefty a content patch with maybe some few extra things. But we've already had a hefty content patch like 4 months after the game came out with new PvP and new battlegrounds. Or that's the same thing, with new war zones and new flashpoints. I'm sorry, I'm recovering WoW, so I'm still taking medication for that. But we've seen a lot of content come in, and I just think that they want to build up Star Wars a little bit more with more things before they put in an expansion pack. I think it'll probably be a year and a half before we even see an expansion pack.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see them launching an expansion anytime soon, especially with everything they can just toss in with a large patch. I just don't see them implementing anything in an expansion anytime soon. So I think any serious concerns about it being an expansion are just not well founded. I think that it's just kind of a knee jerk reaction that people are having. That they're afraid it's going to be an expansion.
Oh, I've been reading on forums that they're so upset because Star Wars doesn't have anything. Well, duh. It's only been out for 5 months. It's not going to have everything. Because you think back to 2004 when Warcraft launched November 23rd, 2004. There were no raids. There were no battlegrounds. And the only PvP you had was open world PvP or those little arenas like in Stranglethorn Vale and out by... actually, I didn't think the one in Dire Maul was there because Dire Maul wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And I think the people who are complaining mostly... And this is just my own opinion. Feel free to email Flamey at gamersfridge@gmail.com. That I think the people who are complaining the most are the ones who are newer to gaming. Because I think that if you have been at the beginning of Warcraft, it was fabulous. The game was awesome. And you didn't get PvP until June of 2004. 7 months later. 7 months later is when you got Warsong Gulch and I think
Who's Adirac Valley?
Adirac Valley, yes. And you didn't even have a Raffi Basin yet. 7 months later, when they're like, oh, Battlegrounds, awesome, let's do this. And then the next month, almost a year later, when you got your first raid, was Blackwing Lair. 8 months after release.
But Star Wars only launched with two operations.
I think the people who are, I don't know, I guess I'm appreciative of a game launching with Battlegrounds. Because my first thought when I heard Star Wars was going to be releasing soon, I was like, oh, I'm big into PvP. I really like PvP. Are they going to have PvP at launch? Or where are the open world PvPs going to be? And to find out that they were going to open with two PvP war zones, I was ecstatic. I would never complain. And to have endgame heroic mode instances to gear up for raids at launch? That's crazy! And then Warcraft didn't even have purple drops until Blackwing Lair came out. Like, I don't even think they had random world drops for the first year. And you're complaining because the game's been out for 6 months and it only has three PvP battlegrounds? Really? I just think the people that are mostly the squeaky wheels are the ones who came to Warcraft 5 or 6 years after the game launched, when it had everything.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, let's play Star Wars. This doesn't have everything? Everything. It doesn't have... Guild banks in Warcraft didn't come out until, I want to say, Lich King.
It's been a...
It was like 4 or 5 years after the game was out.
I think it was Burning Crusade sometime.
It was at the very end of Burning Crusade.
But, I mean, now we've got... We now have three operations. We have four war zones. They've even added yet another flashpoint. I mean, they're constantly adding new content, so
yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think the older gamers, or at least I wouldn't say hardcore, because I wouldn't describe myself as a hardcore gamer, but I would consider myself, you know, I'm in my 30s. I'm a hardcore seasoned gamer, I guess, for lack of a better term, that I am so appreciative of the things that they gave us to begin with that I wouldn't even dream of complaining.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I think those are really good points. And I can't wait to see what they come up with. I really can't wait to see what we get in the future. Well, that was a nice covering for the
Welcome future. To the world of tomorrow.
We're going to have to make Mike start saying that. All right, so what did you want to cover in, now that you've covered Mike's section, did you want to hit anything real quick in your section?
Well, my section is usually like social stuff, and I'm a big vanity pet collector, and Star Wars doesn't have very many vanity pets, only about 30.
What? They fail. Star Wars fails. Only 30? God.
I wrote a really nice write-up on how to get the Tauntaun pet on Hoth. You know, I don't want to give you any spoilers. If you play on Rakata Mine Prison, go ahead and whisper me and I'll give you hints. But if you want a step-by-step guide on how to get it, go to buttonmashersoftheempire.com. You'll see it there on the front page. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Like, I would use the step-by-step guide I put up there to help you if you're stuck, but it was like a treasure hunt. And I'm a big geocacher in real life. It was like a treasure hunt in the game to try and figure out where to go and what to do and how to find... It took me weeks to figure it out because nobody knew how to do it. And I kept record of how I did it and what I did. And it was a lot of fun to get it. And I recommend using... Of course, go to buttonmashersoftheempire.com and look at all the posts. But I would suggest looking at Tauntaun 1 if you're stuck. But don't follow it step by step, because it was a lot of fun to try and figure out how to get it.
It was, and I think getting that pet, I know we both have that pet now, and I think it's really kind of neat to have that pet that was just, it was very difficult to get, because it only came out with 1.2, so it's still a really new pet.
Yes, and there's supposed to be more hidden pets out there, or at least they're planning on introducing more ones that you have to hunt down and do a certain thing to get. And it was very satisfying. I thought it was, some parts of it were really easy to figure out, and some parts of it were like, I have no idea what to do. I just have to grid off Hoth and try to find it and keep track of where I went, and finding it was exciting and very, very satisfying to, like, you know, I dug it up and I got it, and I did it on my own.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to watch you go through that and try to get that stuff.
And I'm working on a step-by-step guide on how to get the Datacron, one of the +10 Datacrons on the Imperial fleet. And I know there are a couple of YouTube videos out there on how to get it, but they're not, like, they don't tell you all the steps. They just kind of like, okay, you have everything, and then they went and did it. And you're like, well, how are you supposed to get everything?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed there's some of those, some of the videos and some of the walkthroughs, they do leave information out, whether it's on purpose or not, I don't know, but I've noticed they do tend to leave key points out.
Yes. I noticed that with, it's what motivated me to write a Tauntaun post, is because I had to go to two or three different blogs and a couple of forums posts to try and find information I was missing. And at least here, everything you need to know is here and where to get it.
Well, that's cool. It's going to be really helpful information that, again, if you like an adventure, just use the posts as to help you get past your stuck point. It'll make it more fun. But if you just want to get it because you want it and you want to get it quick, then, like, you know, there's a complete setup. There'll be a complete walkthrough with, like she said, with the Datacron, and there's a complete one for the Tauntaun, as well as the Orokeet pet as well. So,
oh yes, that was a fun one to try and figure out as well. I'm really looking forward to finding more pets and having more implemented into the game. And really, I'll keep writing the guide. Let me try that again without stuttering. I'm really looking forward to having more pets implemented into the game and more treasure hunts, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I'll keep writing the guides.
Awesome. Well, I think it's time we move into the MMO water cooler. See what's going on around the world of MMOs that are either in their betas or currently out. Real quick, I want to go over one real quick is Guild Wars 2. They're still doing the beta stuff, still going on. Now, one thing I thought was fascinating is there was a write-up in Forbes, the big financial Forbes magazine. There's a write-up, at least on their online site. I don't know if it was actually in a magazine or not, but I read the article on their online site about Guild Wars 2, and they actually, the person that wrote the article for Forbes actually got into the beta and tried the beta stuff, and pretty much almost the entire experience was almost nothing but thumbs up as far as it's the game's playability, the graphics, the storylines, the quests, the lack of any lag. You know, he does go through, the writer does go through and mention several other MMOs that they've played, for stating off right off the bat that they're not an MMO player. They don't really care for them. They can't get into them. Didn't really get into WoW, and lists a bunch of different ones that they've played. So they've definitely got experience in trying other games and playing these other MMOs. But the writer really enjoyed Guild Wars 2. And it was really a nice article. I'll go ahead and put a link up on the Button Mashers website. If anybody wants to read it, there'll be a link up there next couple of days. But it was a really nice article to read. Mentioned some events, like went through a quest event that after it was done, we actually had to take a minute and reassess what was going on and realized that there were several outcomes that could have happened through doing this quest event, which I think is really nice. Multiple outcomes, just like with Star Wars, you know, the storyline, the class quest storylines and stuff, you have multiple choices to have multiple different things happen. It looks like that's the same kind of thing with Guild Wars 2. So it just seems like there's a lot of really nice stuff coming out of Guild Wars 2. And if I can't get into the beta, I'm quite sure I'll end up picking up a copy for nothing else, if not to give it a shot. Because I've played Guild Wars 1 for quite some time, and it's been a good game. And I'm starting to really think I want to give Guild Wars 2 a try, too.
Absolutely. I already have several of the foods that have come out from the beta already set up for the gamer's fridge.
Nice.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
All right. Nanenki, you were talking of something about Diablo.
Diablo 3 comes out next week.
Next week already?
Yeah, the 15th, I believe, is the release date.
Oh, wow.
So all you people complaining about your low servers on Star Wars?
They're about
to get
smaller.
Be prepared for tumbleweeds after the game.
Wow.
Yeah,
I know there's several friends of ours have already said they're going to probably disappear for a little while.
Oh, absolutely. Diablo 3 is a great game. Or Diablo in general is a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see people disappearing for a while, but again, like you were saying earlier, you know, they'll go play that game, and then when they're done with that one or need a break, they'll come back to Star Wars and play Star Wars again.
Well, a lot of people signed up for that free year pass from Warcraft,
mm-hmm.
So they're getting Diablo 3 beta,
so that's right.
Why a lot of servers are empty now, because all those people got that for free.
Yeah, they got the Diablo 3. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, they're getting Diablo 3, I believe, for free, and it's the Mist of Pandera beta they got.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are off doing that, and it's hard to divide up your time between several games. So they'll be back.
Oh yeah. And speaking of Mist of Pandera, it seems that the beta is going really well. They're constantly releasing new information. You can pretty much find the information on any of the MMO sites like MMO Champions, WoW Insider.
Pandas.
Well, since you've mentioned it, why don't you segment into that?
God damn you, Oxhorn! I have that song stuck in my head now for 3 days. But Oxhorn has released a new short. I believe it's on oxhornmovies.com. Let me double check that.
It is. That's where I watched it. It's okay. On his website.
I follow him on Google+, and I saw it posted there. But it's called Panda Exterminator. The Horde are not cute.
It's very funny.
Yes. It's a very good video. And watch the credits at the end, because that song is terrible. Just terrible. 3 days later in my head, pandas.
It's pretty awesome. I'm gonna have to put a link to that video. Actually, I'll just go ahead and put that video up on the Button Mashers site, because we talked about it. I'll go ahead and put it up there so you guys can watch it if you're interested. It's very entertaining. It's very funny. It's another one of Oxhorn's short shorts, so it's not very long at all. It takes, I think it's 3 minutes long.
Unless you watch it 3 times, and then you're going to wrap up at least 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Another thing that was really nice that happened just a couple days ago, in fact, there's been this big campaign on Google+, because there's been so many people complaining about, you know, Steven Reed's doing a terrible job, and the game Star Wars is a terrible game that sucks, and everything's bad and bad. Well, the Star Wars fans that truly enjoy the game have kind of been banding together on Google+, and we've been going through and supporting Steven Reed. So don't be afraid, jump on the bandwagon. You can go to Steven Reed and put him in your circle. Go ahead and make a comment to him. Just, you know, plus Steven Reed, and then make a positive comment about how he's doing, how he's doing really well. You know, he's actually gone back through, and he's been responding to everybody that's been posting positive comments about the game and about him. You know, he's actually been taking time to actually respond to these things, because we really need to, you know, the people that are complaining have clearly made their voice heard, but we, on the other end of the spectrum, need to make our voice heard and say, look, this is a good game. we enjoy this game. Here's why we enjoy this game. Here's the aspects we like about this game. Sure, I might not like this aspect of it, but here's 14 other things that I do like about it. You know, we, the ones that enjoy the game, really need to take a stand and make our voices heard in this. So get on Google Plus, do a Plus Stephen Reed comment, and get it out there. You know, join the group, join the movement, and let's back this game. You know, we play it, we enjoy it. Let's show him how much we enjoy it. Let's, you know, get out there and make some comments.
Yes, if only the complainers are the ones being heard, we'll get implements like damage meters and server and worldwide looking for groups. These are terrible ideas. Terrible.
So yeah, so you know, get out there and tell him how good you think the game is, because really they need to know. They hear all the negative. They need to hear the positive.
Yes, it's called the Stephen Reed self-esteem, because I think he feels pretty sad, and he needs a Google Plus hug. We love you, Stephen Reed. You're doing a great job.
He is, too. I think, because nobody's going to be perfect, no game's going to be perfect, but come on, the game isn't bad.
The game is what you make it. If the game sucks, it's because you suck. You should probably edit that part out.
Oh, no, I'm leaving that in. All right, and you and I were talking before the podcast. You mentioned something about Elder Scrolls.
Oh, Elder Scrolls is coming out with an MMO. That's all I know. That they are. They're going to come out with an MMO, and it's being met with a lot of mixed emotions about that, because I've never played Scrim before.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I've never played it. And, you know, I've watched the videos, and I've watched videos people have put up, and I've, you know, I know a lot of people who talk about it, but I wouldn't by any means say that I'm educated on the ins and outs of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Portal 2, where it's, you can play it by yourself, or you can play it cooperatively with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really like that about the game. And they're kind of excited about an MMO to like an expansive universe will they be able to play in, but they're afraid of the MMO douchebaggery that comes along with an MMO, that they don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
And I could see that, and I think there are a lot of them are like, well, could you make it more cooperative play, like a bigger cooperative play as opposed to an MMO, to where you could go in there and play by yourself, or you could play on a server with a bunch of people you know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But it is being met with concerns. And, you know, I think probably Warcraft, when it first came out, was meant with the same concerns. Because you play, you know, it was a campaign game for Warcraft 1 and 2. And I believe you could play cooperatively over a modem, if that dates me. But Warcraft 3 came out, and you could actually like log on there and play with other people, you know, your friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then to announce that you're coming out with a World of Warcraft MMO, some people might have been like, whoa.
Well, you know, and you might not have had to that degree, because the MMO, as you and everybody else puts it, douchebaggery, really didn't come into play that much.
Until maybe the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that's interesting. I'll have to keep my eye open on that, because I've played several of the Elder Scrolls games, and they were fun, but I don't know if I could really get into an Elder Scrolls MMO. But we'll see. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll give it a try when it comes out, because I know a lot of my friends play them,
mm-hmm.
and they'll want to play it, so I'll go play just to play with them.
Sure. I can't think of anything else I want to go over. Anything else you want to go over?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I think this ends another episode of the Button Mashers of the Empire podcast. As always, you can always reach us on Twitter at blog BMOTE. You can also, don't forget to visit our resource site, which is buttonmashersoftheempire.com. You can also email me at, there's a link on the website. You can contact us there easily. And it's also Bob, B-A-H-B, at buttonmashersoftheempire.com.
Bob, really?
Yep, Bob. Hey, I got to keep my main's name out there. And where can they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at gamersfridge@gmail.com. I'm always posting recipes on the gamersfridge.com. You can make a comment there, and I watch the comments. So you can make a comment there. I watch the comments very closely. My phone goes off if someone comments, so I can get right back to you. I also post as Maznavi on Button Mashers. That's me posting that stuff. My name is Maznavi. It's M-O-Z apostrophe...
Navi.
Apostrophe Navi. Oh, crap. But that's me. You can post a comment on those, and I watch the comments. You can follow me on Twitter at GamersFridge.
Well, awesome. All right. Well, that's it, and we'll catch you guys on the next podcast. And Mike will be back with the next podcast, so we got to remember to get him to say...
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Say that. All right, catch you guys later.
See you later.